We're in an informal today, right, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Scott, we alive and well? All right. Good afternoon. This is Commissioner Brian Kalk. We're meeting the 12th floor of the Capitol today. It's, what is the date today? November 28th? November 28th. It's approximately 1:30. We're having an informal on case number PU12707. And so I look forward to hearing the comments about that. Before I get into the hearing, I'll open up to Commissioner Fetch if she has any questions, and then we'll go around the table, and let her know where they're from.
No questions. Look forward to hearing the testimony today. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, if you could just for the record.
Absolutely. Commissioner or Chairman Culp, Commissioner Fetch, Wade Mann, Crowley Fleck, P.O. Box 2798, Bismarck, North Dakota, appearing on behalf of Budget Prepay, Inc., and with me, Robin Enke, Compliance Manager for Budget Prepay, Inc. And then also on the phone is Todd Lantor, and he's an attorney with Lucas, Nace, Gutierrez, and Sachs, who also represent Budget Prepay. And Todd does not have any prepared testimony or prepared comments, but he wants to be available in the event that there's any questions that the commissioners or staff might have with respect to federal rules, FCC, those types of thing. He's got expertise in that area and is willing to offer that guidance as it may be needed. So,
okay, thank you. All right, we got Robin down. Okay, and Patrick, if you could let me know who we are.
Patrick Fawn, work at the commission staff.
All right, thank you. And we're joined by Commissioner-elect Randy Christman's in the audience today. So depending upon when this comes to a vote, Commissioner Christman could actually be one of the ones voting on this, so this worked out very well. I guess I'll turn it over to you, Wade, if you'd like. But before that, the only question that I'll maybe if you get into it is that, you know, what prompted you to pick North Dakota to come up here, I guess, is one of the things, the first questions I had right off the bat. So I'll turn it over to you and go
for it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I will leave that question to Robin. And
we're glad you came, by the way.
Thank you for having me.
And I don't have an opening statement or anything. I would just, you know, like Robin would request the opportunity to present her testimony and then address any questions that the staff and commissioners might have after that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Robin.
All right, thank you.
Would you like me to answer your question first, or would you like me to?
Somewhere in your testimony, why don't you hit that?
Got it. Good afternoon, Chairman Kalk and Commissioner Fetch. On August 31st, 2012, Budget Prepay's ETC application was filed with this commission. Budget Prepay is seeking ETC designation authority to provide resold wireless service in the state's non-rural wire centers and to participate in the Universal Service Fund's low-income program. On September 12, 2012, the Commission provided notice of Budget Prepay's ETC application for limited designation as a non-rural, low-income-only wireless ETC. No parties filed comments or made a request for a hearing. This is the first time that the Commission has been asked to consider an ETC application to participate solely in the Universal Service Fund's low-income program. By way of background, Budget Prepay is based in Bossier City, Louisiana, and has been offering a competitive wireline service as a CLEC since 1996. Budget Prepay started offering prepaid wireless service in 2010. Budget Prepay operates its wireless business under the name Budget Mobile and provides all the services required of an ETC as set forth in this commission's rules and by applicable federal rules, including voice grade access, minutes of use for local service at no additional charge, access to emergency services, and toll limitation. If designated as an ETC, Budget would also advertise its services throughout its designated area as required of all ETCs. Budget Prepay's primary focus will be serving the state's low-income resident population. Data compiled by the Universal Service Administrative Company from 2010, the most recent data available, estimates that less than half of North Dakota households eligible for Lifeline actually receive their Lifeline benefit, a strong indication that there is a significant need in North Dakota for the services Budget Prepay proposes to provide. If designated as an ETC in North Dakota, Budget Prepay initially plans on offering two prepaid service plans to state residents, a 250-minute plan and a 4,000 combined minute and/or text messaging plan. If approved as an ETC, Most North Dakota residents that qualify for Lifeline would receive a $9.25 federal Lifeline discount on the cost of these offerings. Both the budget prepaid service plans include a free handset, caller ID, call waiting, and voicemail, as well as texting capabilities. Customers are provided with nationwide calling, not bound by local calling area requirement, and all plans come with domestic long distance or at no extra charge. Customers pay no roaming charges as well. All handsets offered by Budget Prepaid are 911 and E911 compatible, and all calls to 911 emergency services are always free, regardless of a customer service activation status or availability of minutes. Budget Prepaid has resale agreements in place with Sprint and Verizon Wireless, and will be using the networks of these two carriers to provide its wireless services in North Dakota. In order to qualify for Lifeline in North Dakota, a state resident must participate in a qualifying service, social service program such as Medicaid, SNAP, or food stamps, the Low Income Home Energy Assistance Program, or LAHEAP, the National School Lunches Free Lunch Program, Supplemental Security Income, or SSI, Federal Housing Assistance, or Section 8, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or have a household income that is at or below 135% of the federal poverty level guidelines. To date, Budget Prepay has been designated as low-income-only wireless ETC in 21 states: Arkansas, Georgia, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Washington, West Virginia, Wyoming, and Wisconsin, and we just received Ohio about an hour ago. Budget Prepay has also been designated as an ETC for its CLEC operations in 14 states as well. Public reception to the company's market entry has been incredibly positive and has certainly promoted a competition in the states and communities that it has been afforded the opportunity to serve. Section 214E2 of the Federal Communications Act and Section 49-21-01.712 of the North Dakota Century Code provides the Commission with primary legal authority over ETC applications. The Federal Communications Act, FCC rules, and the rules governing ETCs in the North Dakota Administrative Code collectively set forth the requirements of any North Dakota ETC. Earlier this year, the FCC significantly reformed the Universal Service Fund's low-income program. The FCC's reforms were designed primarily to enhance the oversight of ETCs receiving distributions from the low-income program. The FCC required certain carriers wishing to provide a Lifeline discount to qualified customers in any state to file a comprehensive compliance plan with the FCC. Budget Prepaid filed a compliance plan with the FCC on May 1, 2012, and the FCC approved Budget Prepaid's compliance plan on May 25, 2012, thus making Budget Prepaid eligible for designation as an ETC in North Dakota. Budget Prepaid was one of only six carriers nationwide to have its compliance plan approved by the FCC as of May 25, 2012. In approving Budget Prepaid's compliance plan, the FCC also granted Budget Prepaid forbearance from the statutory requirement that Budget Prepay provide service using its own facilities. The services provided by Budget Prepay have been essentially for the lower income customers, providing them with a cost-effective option for wireless service, access to emergency services on wireless devices, and a reliable means of contact for prospective employers, social service agencies, and dependents. Granting Budget Prepay's ETC application will promote competition in North Dakota and for the first time bring a carrier to market in North Dakota whose primary focus will be serving the state's low-income residents. All of us at Budget Prepay appreciate your consideration today of the company's ETC application, as well as staff's efforts over the past few months, and look forward to working with you in the months and years to come. I'd be happy to answer any of your questions.
All right. Thank you, Robin. This is an informal hearing, but we still, if you wouldn't mind, just to offer that up as testimony?
Yes.
Or I guess if Wade could do that?
Yes. Certainly, Commissioner Kalk, we can submit the copy of the testimony as an exhibit if you'd like.
All right. Perfect. And we will be happy to receive it, so thank you.
Yep.
On that, just a couple questions. First off, appreciate the testimony. You said something about resale through Sprint and AT&T Wires?
We have we resell between Sprint and Verizon.
Sprint and Verizon. Okay, so tell me though how that North Dakota, our carriers are Verizon and AT&T. So for wireless, how does that work?
We would primarily do Verizon coverage for North Dakota only.
So if someone wants this service in an area that Verizon is not very stable, I mean, how does that configure into the mix?
Well, at that point, we would if we have no coverage in that area, or if it's not stable, then we rely on the Verizon roaming agreements that we have with
okay.
Verizon.
So any agreements that Verizon has in place, you could not automatically pick those up?
Correct, sir.
Okay, fair enough. So you said 130% of the poverty line for how you classify people that...
135.
Right. Federal guidelines state that if you are at or below 135% of the federal guidelines as far as your income, then you qualify for the lifeline benefit.
Do you have any idea what that number is? Is in like 50,000, 20,000 a year?
It's 15,000 for 15,000. One, and then it just by percentage of how many in your household would... go up in your income.
Okay, do you have any idea how many that your target audience you're looking for in North Dakota?
Studies have shown with the recent USEC study that between 20% and 50% of North Dakota is not serviced by Lifeline. So we would be we show that less than half of North Dakota is not receiving the benefit that they will be eligible for. So we would be going after those low-income customers for North Dakota.
Sure, because, no, I'm sold on what you guys are doing. I don't anticipate any problems me voting for it, quite honestly. But we'll see but it's just there's a reason that some of these have not got the services is because it's areas that are tough to get at.
We're hoping
back
that
to my previous question
it's just
about
not they're aware of the programs, and by advertising in local newspapers and by the demographic area that we would be targeting, by showing them that it is available out there, that you'll have a higher increase of people participating.
Okay, so that kind of leads into one of the points. So how are you going to market this then?
Well, we would market through radio stations, television, direct mail pieces, the local newspapers. We have what works well for us, which I'm sure North Dakota has, free circulars that go out for to consumers that they can pick up, and we would be advertising in those types of media. And we also, if they have the ability to go online, if they have internet, we actually have a website. They can go and search us and review what we offer and what plans we have available to them.
Okay. So if this was approved, how quickly would you start services, start sales and services?
Once we're approved and we build North Dakota into our system, it would take about 60 days.
Okay. And will you have a storefront in the state at all?
We have no immediate plans right now to have a storefront, but we have not ruled that out at this time.
So our Scott Sheldon, our consumer advocate guru, just walked in. And so if we get phone calls, concerns, good and bad, who do we call?
You would call. We actually have a customer call center located at our corporate office that you would call to either sign up for services or to, if you have a complaint or a question in regards to your handset, that we're able to address at that point. If we do see that there is a higher need for a storefront, like I said, we have not ruled that out.
Will there be like a North Dakota point of contact for this program?
We would have a what we call territory manager that would service this area, and he would have a few employees in different regions of North Dakota that would help service.
Okay. Well, I don't think I had any more questions. Commissioner Fetch?
Just to clarify a couple things. We're talking about marketing.
Yes,
and, the low-income customers you're talking about, their eligibility in terms of low income. You talked about food stamps, which now is SNAP, TANF, LIHEAP, Medicaid, et cetera. Those are all administered by Department of Human Services. And, of course, SSI is federal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you market through them at all? Does the department send out information?
If we can partner up with the department by giving them brochures or applications or information about our company, then we would do that. We have done that with other DSHS offices in other states. We would be very open to that.
Okay. Since that's the target audience.
Correct.
And they are in communication directly. Okay. And you said picking up on what Commissioner Kalk just was asking you, and you said you would plan to have employees in the state?
Well,
in different areas of the state?
We would have a territory manager and who would have different, what we call outbound events, and that they would be employees that would be housed in the state, the living residents of North Dakota, yes.
Do you know about how many?
Not at this time, no.
Well, Scott's at the table now, huh?
I am.
We'll see if you get a turn.
Okay. I don't have any more questions at this time.
Okay. Pat, did you have anything you wanted to talk through or offer?
Yeah, I do have a few questions. You indicated, or your application indicates that you're looking at the service or the exchanges currently served by Quest.
Yes, sir.
And I'm assuming that's all of the exchanges that are served by Quest is where you're headed?
The wire centers that we are looking for are Quest, and then we also have one rule, which is provided by SRT coverage.
Right. That was the other question I had. You had indicated that you were going to serve in non-rural wire centers, but SRT is a rural wire center.
Correct. Right. The application stated that we would have rural, we would be competitive ETC throughout the non-rural and rural wire centers, and it would be that one rural wire center for the SRT, as in Minot.
Service area.
Yes, sir.
All their exchanges.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then could you just summarize again? One of the factors that the commission has to consider is whether it's in the public interest. And it used to be we only needed to consider that factor for the rural areas. And there was one place in the FCC rules where it almost looked like it might have to be now for both rural and non-rural, but I'm not sure about. Do you know whether we have to consider that for both now? Both rural and non-rural?
Sorry. Chairman Kalk, Todd Lanter may be able to accurately. Todd, can you hear me?
I can.
Did you hear Pat's question? Do you want to take a shot at that?
Sure. I mean, I think, Pat, while the FCC's rules historically and in my opinion currently would not require the public interest factor for non-rural areas of the state, generally speaking, I think doing this around the country, most states do still want to make a determination that designation does serve the public interest. Budget's never been opposed to that interpretation. So the FCC rules, I would say, do not apply the public interest factor to non-rural areas. But that said, budget prepay has never had a history of opposing a state that wants to make sure that the public interest is served in granting the application, whether the area is rural or non-rural.
Yep, thank you. Then could you point out what, the factors that you're using to indicate that this is in the public interest, like summarize those?
Budget feels that it is in the public interest, mainly because we are offering a service to low-income qualified residents who normally wouldn't have the ability to have a normal wireless plan with a major carrier contract, credit check, that type of thing. We do not have an activation fee. If they are qualified for a Lifeline, the plan, they get a $9.25 credit, Lifeline credit, which would then make the plan at no cost to them. And then the 4,000 active user talk and text gives me the ability to talk and text at a discounted plan rate as well with a $9.25 lifeline credit. So we do feel that it is in the public interest for those reasons. And we offer, you know, a competitive product for consumers for the ability to pick a plan that best fits them.
One of the other things I wanted to talk to you about was the Public Service Commission has requirements that the ETC applicant certify to certain things. And another word we use is commit. Okay. And, you know, the certifications that we like to see are is a type of document where at the top, the person that's filing the certification says, I am so-and-so, I work for so-and-so, and I have the authority to commit the company to these mm-hmm. requirements. And then it's signed at the bottom, signed and dated and made official. And I didn't see anything like that here, and I'm wondering if we could get something like that.
Yes, sir. We would be willing to provide you a certificate of our commitment for our application, and we would supplement that for you.
Okay, very good.
And Pat, I'm assuming you're looking for a format on the certification similar to what we provide, like with the citing applications.
We've done
those types
in the citing applications.
Okay.
And we've also done in the past with informal hearings. A lot of times, we would do affidavits, but certification is a little bit more than an affidavit, but it's similar.
Sure.
Something like that.
Goes back. If there's concerns, where do we go?
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and get that filed.
Okay, very good. The only other thing that I noticed was the report estimating an amount of federal high cost universal service support that you might be receiving in the next year, the first year following designation. I didn't see anything related to that here. Did we talk about that before?
The report summarizing the high cost, is that what you said?
Well, for the commission,
they're not seeking any high cost support, so that provision, I guess, wouldn't apply to this particular application.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, that's true. Okay. And in the certification, because you're using underlying carriers to provide the service, then I'm assuming that you'll certify that you'll be able to continue based on what they've told you. You'll be able to provide service in emergency situations. And,
yes, sir.
And certify to that. I think that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Pat. At the risk of opening up Pandora's box, Mr. Sheldon, do you have any questions?
I do take numerous calls on, in North Dakota we call it TAPS, Telephone Assistance Program, with this Lifeline Awareness. Three just today, I would just say approximately 25 to 50 a month. I can tell you that one of the questions I get asked the most is, does it service prepay? And so this is interesting to me that this would now be an option, because I think there is a number of people that would like to go with this option. You talked a little bit about the cost, the not having a contract, is that correct? So there'd be no contract. That could ask quite a bit, because some people have cell phones. They get this letter from the Department of Human Services, which says now if they want to sign up with Verizon or AT&T, they have to cancel that contract and start new. A lot of times that comes with a penalty, usually $250 to $400. So a lot of people get this going, this will be great, but I can't sign up for a year because I'll have to, you know, take $250. The next question I get asked a ton is texting. On these plans through AT&T and Verizon, texting is not an option. You can't even pay more to get it.
Well, we'd talk about your plans, though, not the ones you're talking
about. I'm just saying how I believe this is a good idea because of the questions I am currently getting.
Okay.
Can I continue with these?
I want to make sure what you're trying to say here.
Right. So what I'm trying to say is that I get questions that I believe fit into this program quite a bit. I do have a question in Cass and Grand Forks counties where Verizon's currently not an option. Is that an option for you if you are going to be using Verizon's extended market? Does that fit into this plan or not?
It does. Like AT&T, we would rely on our roaming partnership. We would have, if Verizon has a roaming partnership in those areas, then we would automatically go on under that partnership per our agreement with Verizon.
Okay. And this we would all know beforehand, of course, correct?
Correct, yes.
Okay.
So what brings up the question, though, is the day-to-day interface between North Dakota Commission. That's the part that my previous question is, you need to have somebody that, for Scott to call in, he doesn't want to talk to a generic service rep. Want to develop relationships so we can have the discussion. If you've got changes, letting Scott know ahead of time makes it a lot easier for everyone.
Correct.
Okay.
One of the other things is that if you can get added to the human services, that, of course, would be beneficial because, like I said, this letter goes to all of them. Of course, in the bottom it has our number, which a lot of people use. We're actually working with Human Services right now to change this, so it's a little bit easier for them to read to know exactly where to send it. If this does happen within 60 days, I think we could change it to have you included in this.
We would definitely appreciate that, and we'd like to do that.
When's that due?
They're currently working on it as of right now, so I don't know if I have an exact date. I actually assumed
we have two more commission meetings this month, and I would make an assumption that if we can get all the paperwork taken care of, that we could vote on it this year.
Okay.
Is what my thoughts would be, based on what I've heard today.
I could speak to them and see where they're at in the process, because I can imagine adding their information on here would be that large, even though they can't change the font or the layout. Happy about that.
All right, Scott, did you have any other questions? Are you testifying for them, I take it?
Right. That's correct. My other question was that when you put your information on here, Verizon has a mailing address to send the form into to become enrolled in this. AT&T just has an 800 number to where you call and enroll over the phone. What option would you guys be doing, or would you be doing both?
We would do both, and we would probably also add our website as well.
Okay.
We would like to give them all the every contact point that we could to give them the opportunity to contact us.
Okay. And then my last one, I believe Commissioner Kolk stated, was about having a in-state contact / liaison, somebody that may at some point swing into the commission to say, hi, I'm here.
We would send the territory manager for the state of North Dakota. We would definitely send them in to meet y'all so you could have that face-to-face communication and introduction.
We spend a lot of time with the North Dakota Telephone Association, Verizon, AT&T, MidCon, and so it's just getting this individual tied into that same team would be very helpful.
Okay.
Anything else, Scott?
I believe that's all I have. I have heard from the consumers, and I think this might be a good fit for a lot of them that maybe didn't take advantage of the program before.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Fawn, you had another question?
One other question, I guess, on budget prepays registration with the Public Service Commission. Are you registered with us, right, through our web registration?
I believe we are. I will double check, but I believe we are. We are registered with the Secretary of State under Budget Prepay and Budget Mobile.
Right. And this is a prepaid service?
Yes, sir, it is.
And so then there would be there's a bond requirement.
Okay.
With that.
I didn't know that. How much is a bond?
$25,000.
Really? Okay.
So just a reminder on that one.
Okay.
And if you already have a registration, then it would need to be updated.
Okay.
All right, good catch. I just had a more clarification. For a lot of telephone services, North Dakota is designated as the whole state is rural. You were talking about rural, non-rural here. I mean, how do you differentiate North Dakota? I see that map of Exhibit B. I mean, is that probably the best area of where you're trying to serve at, right?
Correct, yes, sir.
All right, just make a note of that. And then the last thing I thought of is, In the states that you've already doing business, is there any trends of concerns that have come up that we might expect could happen here?
No, sir. Like I said, we've had a very positive reaction in the states that we are in. We have given services to individuals that normally wouldn't have service, but we have not seen any trends that were alarming to us.
Okay.
If we do see trends that are alarming, you know, we would be give that the information to the commission or to the staff if we were to see something like that. But at this point, we have not.
Okay, and you said your job is regulatory affairs or compliance?
Compliance manager for budget.
What have you heard about USF reform from your part of the country?
We're actually happy that they are doing the reform. It has actually put a better control over it. So from a compliance standpoint, I like that.
Okay. All right, that was actually all that I had. Commissioner Fetch, did you have anything else? Okay, Scott, Pat, anything else, Wade, for the team?
Chairman Kalk, I guess no. The only thing, we will get the certification in and do what we can to, you know, assist the commission, you know, if possible, to get this, like you said, ruled on before the end of the year.
Well, I can't, speaking for myself, I don't see any particular concerns that I have about voting on this. Once we've got December 12th as a meeting and December 21st, and okay. As soon as the paperwork can be submitted, I don't know, Commissioner Fetch, if you have any particular concerns that...
No, actually, I don't. I wasn't aware that there was a bond requirement, but good thing you brought that up, Pat.
Big things for me is that Scott has someone that he can talk to. It sounds like enhanced services for customers, and the more communication access we can give for people in North Dakota, the better. So... Okay, going once, going twice. All right, we'll close the informal on case number PU12707.
Thank you.
Thank you, commissioners.
Thank you.
You flew all the way up here for this.
It was a nice trip.